Begin the current daf Masechta, the Shabbos daf Samachei. We begin two lines up from the top of the Yamun, where the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah from the previous daf. The Mishnah mentioned many different items that a woman is allowed to go out with on Shabbos, and the Gemara continues discussing that these items from the Mishnah. So the Gemara begins, "Ubamoich sheba'azna, a woman is allowed to go out into Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos with a wad of cotton or anything soft in her ear, and that is to get the liquid and different fluids that are coming out of her ear." So the Gemara explains that Tanya Rabbi by Yechezkel, "Vehushakar sheba'azna," that's only if it's tied into her ear. Then it's not possible for it to fall out. But if it's not tied, then it could fall out, and you might come to carry it in Rosh Hashanah, and therefore one is not allowed to go out with it unless if it's tied into the ear. The Mishnah continued saying, "Ubamoich shebe sandala," and she could go out with a wad of cotton that's in her shoe as an insole, and that's for comfort. However, Tanya Rabbi Yechezkel, a similar type of qualification, "Vehusha kashlo besandala," that's only if it's tied onto her shoe, again, that it won't fall out, and that she might come to carry it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah, and might be over on the Haitzah, the Issa deraisa Haitzah on Shabbos. So then the Mishnah continued, "Ubamoich sheskinu lo lindasa," a third type of a case of a wad that the woman prepared for her menses, for her dam nida that comes out, that she uses as a pad that she shouldn't get her garments all soiled. So she puts a wad of cotton over there by her private parts. So the Gemara says, "Asava rami bachama lemaimus," or rami bachama, who he thought to say is similar as we said by the other cases, that v'hu shekshur la ben yachisel, that it should be tied there between her thighs, similarly that it shouldn't fall, and that one might come to carry it for Amos and Shusrab, and just like we said about the wad of cotton in her ear, and that we said as an insult, maybe the same thing would apply to a pad, that it should also be tied there somehow. Rava said no. Here it's different. Avapi she'enu kashala, even if it's not tied over there. And the reason is kiven de ma'os lo asu lesuya. Since it's repulsive, it's all full of blood, she's not going to come to carry it for Amos and Shul's Shabbos. Even if her pad would fall down on the street, she's not going to pick it up. There's no concern. Even if it's not tied, she's not going to carry it for Amos and Shul's. However, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked from Rabbi, what is if asus Allah beis yad mahu? What's the halacha if, let's say, she made a handle for the pad, that is for this wad that she puts in by her private parts, maybe then it would be awesome, because maybe she is going to carry it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah, because it's not disgusting, because she could carry it from the handle, and she won't touch the pad itself that's all soiled. Maybe then it should be awesome. Amalei Mutter says, no, it's still permitted, because we don't say that it's not disgusting. Rather, even with a handle, it's still considered disgusting, and therefore, even in that case, it's going to be Mutter. Itmanam, similarly we learned, the Gemara says, Amar of Nachma, Oisha, Amar of Yechanan, Asla Besiad Mutter, that even when she made a handle, it's still going to be Mutter again, because since it's soil, it gets full of dam, she's not going to come to pick it up in Rosh Hashanah, and therefore there's no concern that maybe she's going to be Oivan Issa Haitzah Dairaisa. So the Gemara continues with a story related to these halachas about a wad, specifically regarding the case of putting a wad in one's ear. Rabbi Yochanan nafik b'hula bei midrash. Rabbi Yochanan went out with this wad of cotton in his ear because he was very old and he had a lot of fluid and liquid that was oozing out of his ear. And he went out with that on Shabbos to the beis midrash. V'chalukin lof chaverim, and all his chaverim they argued on him because since it wasn't tied into his ear and he went out with it on Shabbos into Rosh Hashanah, they felt that was wrong because again it might fall out, might come to carry it, and therefore it should be aser. Similarly, the Gemara brings that Rabbi Yanai nafik b'hula karmelis. Rabbi Yanai went out with the wad of cotton in his ear to a karmelis, which is considered a rishus that's usher to carry in midrabban. V'chalukin lof kaldari, and his whole generation argued him again because since it's not tied in, you're not allowed to go out with it even to a karmelis on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yochanan, v'hatani Rami bar Yecheskel. We said before that Rabbi Rami bar Yecheskel qualified the case of our Mishnah. V'husha kasher labazna, it's only if it's tied onto the ears. How did Rabbi Yochanan go out with it on Shabbos? So his chaverim argued, but what pshat? How did he do that if it has to be tied? So the Gemara says, loy kasher. That it depends. If it's pressed tight, then it's muti even if it's not tied. Whereas if it's not pressed tight, that's the case of a Mishnah, that's where we said that has to be tied. And when Rabbi Yochanan went out, he stuck it in very tight into his ear, and therefore there it doesn't have to be tied. Whereas when Rami bar Yecheskel gave his qualification about Mishnah, that it has to be tied, it's talking about when it wasn't stuck and so tight, and that's why it wasn't a problem with what Rabbi Yochanan had done. So the Mishnah continued with cases that a woman is allowed to go out with on Shabbos in the Rosh Hashanah. So it said, bepilpil ubegalgal melech, with peppercorn and with a lump of salt. Why would a woman go out with this in her mouth? So the Gemara explains, pilpil lerecha pem. This pepper was used for someone that had a bad odor coming from their mouth, bad breath, they would use pepper to neutralize that. And galgal melech, why would a person go out with a lump of salt in their mouth, was ludrashini. That was for if someone had a tooth disease, that would help, the lump of salt would help neutralize that and help heal. Therefore, a person, if they had it in their mouth from before Shabbos, they're allowed to walk out with that on Shabbos, and that's the reason why they have it, for these different things, for bad breath and for tooth disease. So the Mishnah continues and says, everything that she puts in her mouth is mutter. That's the, so to speak, the normal way. That's not considered masa. It's not external to the person. Like all the halachas we say regarding haitzah on Shabbos, clothing, things for health, all these things that are considered intrinsic to the person are mutter. So anything that a person generally has in their mouth is mutter. So the Gemara says, what are these things? What are we including that we didn't say with pepper and a lump of salt? So the Gemara says, two pshatim. Either zangvila, I mean ginger, inami, dartsuna, cinnamon. Again, these are things that people would have, I guess, for good breath or whatever that they would have in their mouth. Therefore, if it was in from before Shabbos, then you're allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. However, then the Mishnah said a machloikis regarding shein toisevis, shein shalzav. That is a false tooth, a tooth made out of gold. There we said Rebbe matev v'chomayisim. Rebbe says that it's permitted to go out with. However, the Chomayis said it's sasa. So the Gemara qualifies as halacha and thereby explains what the machloikis is all about. Amar Reb Zeir. Reb Zeir said, "Lo yishanu ele shalzav." We didn't learn that the Chum say that it's usher to go out with on Shabbos with this false tooth, only if the tooth is made out of gold. As our Mishnah said, "Av bishal kesef divya akol mutter." But if it was made out of silver, there everybody agrees that it's going to be mutter to go out with that on Shabbos. And that is the reason is because by gold, there it looks different than all the other teeth. And maybe a person is going to be embarrassed and might come to take it out with their hands and carry it in Rosh Hashanah. Whereas if it's made out of silver, which looks similar to the other teeth, at least on some level, there everyone would say that it's mutter. That's the pshat Rashi says from Ezra Beim. But then Rashi says his own pshat, and he says that the reason for the gold is because it's chashiv, and someone might come to go ahead and show it to other people. Look at this beautiful gold tooth that I have. However, when it's made out of silver, which is not so chashiv, and therefore a person not going to come out and take it out and show it to other people, that's why according to everybody that it's mutter. So therefore we have two different pshatim in Rashi, either from him or Ezra Beim, that by silver, everybody agrees that it's mutter either because you're not going to go ahead and show it, or because it doesn't look so much different, and therefore you're not going to be embarrassed, and therefore either way you're not going to go ahead and take it out and carry it. Whereas by gold, there at least the chacham say that it's aser, again either because it's so precious you're going to want to show it to people that might carry it for amas and shusram, or because it's going to look different than your other teeth and people are going to laugh that you have something that looks different, and then you might come to carry it because you're embarrassed. So the Gemara says, Tanya Halacha, similar in the Braisa, that this is exactly how they argue only regarding gold, not by silver, that B'shal Kesev, Tivi HaKol Mutter. When the tooth is made out of silver, everybody agrees that this false tooth can stay in your mouth and you can go out with it on Shabbos. Shal Zav, there we have the Machlekes. Rabbi Matav HaKham Aysim. Again, as we said, that by gold is the case where the Chum say that it's Aser, either because people can laugh at them, or because then it's precious, and to the contrary, then they're going to show it to people. Either way, you might carry it for Amos and Shazra. So Abaya says, Rebbe, Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Shimon ben Laza, these three Tanoim, Kulu Svirlu, they all hold the same fundamental principle. And that is, the Chalmidi de Meganyebe, that anything that's a source of embarrassment for a person, like Asilachvu, you're not going to come to show it to other people. And the Gemara shows how they all say the same thing. Rebbe Hodamar, that's exactly as we just said in our Gemara, that Rebbe is not concerned even by the gold tooth, that especially the way we said the Pshat from Rashi, that you're not going to go ahead and take it out and show it to other people. Or even if it's the other pshat that you're going to be embarrassed, but if it's going to be a source of embarrassment for you that you have an empty space that you're not going to have a tooth there anymore because you took out your false tooth, Rebbe says, no one's going to take it out, you're going to leave it in. And therefore Rebbe says, something that's a source of embarrassment, you're not going to show it to other people. And again, that's why he says that you can go out even with a gold tooth on Shabbos because you're not going to take it out. Similarly, Rebbe Eliezer, he says the same concept. The Tanya is learned in the Braisa. Rebbe Eliezer peyter b'cheveles uvitzloiches shel payod. Les says that a person is potter, is exempt, if they go out on Shabbos carrying a kavelas, which is a spice bundle, and a tzlucha shabayotin, which is a flask of balsam oil. And that is, as we said over there in the Gemara, that this, that Reb Eliezer says that potter really means mutter l'ketchila. It's only in that case where he was arguing on Reb Meir, but really when the other sheet of the Chacham, Reb Eliezer really says that it's even mutter l'ketchila. And the reason the Gemara said over there was because who is the type of woman that goes out with a kevelis, that has a spice bundle around her neck? It's a woman that has a bad body odor. Such a woman is not going to go ahead and take it off and show it to other people because that's embarrassing. What are you doing wearing the spice bundle? Obviously you smell, you didn't shower, and therefore such a woman is not going to take it off. And that's what Rebbe Eliezer says, that a woman is mutlik et chil to go out with such a case. Again, the same principle, because something that's a source of embarrassment, you're not going to go ahead and take it off and show it to other people. And the third Tana, Shimon ben Laza, the Tana is learned in the Braisa, Klal Omri Reb Shimon ben Laza. Reb Shimon ben Laza gives a general rule regarding the halachas of Shabbos, of being concerned that a person might do haitzah or not, and that is kol shuhu lamatim in asvacha, anything, any adornment, any ornament that's below a woman's hat. And that is, for example, the woolen cap, which is a kippah shel tzemeh, Then Yoitzaba, a woman is allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. Again, because not concerned that she's going to go ahead and take off this woolen cap and show it to her friends, look how pretty my cap is. Because then she's going to have to reveal her hair, and that's embarrassing because the hat is, an adornment is pretty for the hair, and therefore she's not going to want to take off her hat to get to the woolen cap underneath, and that's why she's allowed to go out with it, because she's not going to take it off to show it to her friends. Whereas lamalam and asvoch in Yoitzaba, whereas something, an ornament that's above the hat, that you're not allowed to go out with that, because that you might take off and show it to your friends, and then you might come to carry it for Amas and Rishul Sham. Again, seeing that Rabbi Shimon Lazar says the same concept as the other two Tanoim, that something that is a source of embarrassment, which in this case she'll have to take off her hat to take off her woolen cap, and her hair is going to be revealed, and she's going to be losing this adornment of her hat, which is going to be embarrassing for her, that we're not concerned she's going to do that. Again, the same principle as these two other Tanoim, that something that's a source of embarrassment, one will not come to show to others. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing with those things that are mutter for a woman to go out with on Shabbos into Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah begins. Yoitze b'sela sha'ala tzinis. A woman is allowed to go out with a coin, that's a sela, it's a type of a coin, on a tzinis, which the Gemara is going to explain exactly what that is, on Shabbos. Habonis ketanois yoitzis b'chut. Small girls are allowed to go out with threads, va'afil b'kismen, even with splinters, sheba's name, that are in their ears. And that is, the girls used to do, they would pierce their ears. However, they wouldn't put in the earrings until they got older. So up until then, they would put in strings or even splinters in the ears that the hole that they pierced shouldn't close. And Rashi explains that the fact that it says even splinters is telling us a chiddush, that even though splinters are definitely not an ornament in any manner at all, however, since that was the derech, that's what they do, so therefore that's not considered a masa, a burden, because again, that's intrinsic to the person, that's how people walk, that's to keep their ears, the piercings open, that's why even splinters are mutter for the girls to go out with on Shabbos. So Mishnah continued with other cases. Arviyois yoitzis ru'ulois, that the Jewish women that live in Arabia, the Arabian Jewish women, they can go out wrapped. And that is the way the Arabian women go out, and the Jewish women dress similar to them, is that they dress out all totally covered. That is their head and their face, besides the eyes. And that is the women that go out there also, it's not considered a burden, something extra. Rather, that's how they dress. So therefore, in Arabia, that's how the Jewish women could go out on Shabbos. Umidia is proof. And similarly, in Media, the women could go out with fasting, and that is they would go out, so to speak, covered with a cloak, and they would take a strap with one end that was tied around her neck, and the other end would be tied on to a stone or to a nut, and she would tie it in, like, so to speak, like a loop, and so that the cloak shouldn't fall down. So that type of fastening is mutter for the woman in Media to go out, because that's how they used to wear it. They used to wrap it around and then tie the other end of the strap around a rock or around a nut. So therefore, that's how they were able to go out. And the Mishnah says, really, v'chol adam, and every woman could go out like these cases. Rather, the Chacham and the sages only talk about what was prevalent. And in those locales, that's how they would go out, so therefore that's how they picked. But really, every woman, now that that is, so to speak, a normal mode of dress, any woman could go out the way they go out in Media or the way they dress in Arabia. And the Mishnah says that this, that we said that a woman could go out fasten is Perefes ala Evan. You could fasten it on a stone, vala Egez, and on a nut, vala Matbeya, and on a coin. Whatever you want to wrap it around, this cloak, to tie the strap around, you could tie it on. Actually, as long as you don't initially wrap it on Shabbos, if not for that, then you could go out with wrapping it on anything. The Gemara is going to ask, we just said before that you could be Perefes, so what are you saying that you can't be Perefes? The Gemara is going to address this seeming contradiction. So the Gemara now goes and explains the first case of our Mishnah. We said that a woman could go out with a coin on a tzinis. So the Gemara asks, my tzinis, what is this tzinis that the woman's putting a coin in it as she's dressing and walking out with on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Bas Ara, that this is a wound that a woman has on the sole of her foot. And she would tie the coin on the sole of her foot as a refuah, that it was a mode of healing for the injury that she has. So the Gemara asks, Umayish no sela. Now, why would she put Davka, a coin, as a way of healing this wound? So the Gemara goes through a different process to figure out what was the chemical property, so to speak, of the coin that would be the thing that would heal the foot. Because if you're going to say that anything that's hard is beneficial for the wound, and that is because since it's hard, so it protects the wound that's on the sole of a foot from getting hurt from any of the thorns and all the different rocks that are on the road, so then she can make for herself an earthenware shard. Why does she need to have dafka, a coin? Why would we pick a matbeah? You can make anything that's hard. So maybe you can say because of the moisture, there's a certain moisture that comes out of the silver of the coin, and that's very good for a wound, and that's why you're saying they use a coin. So then la'avad lo tasa, so let her use a plate. And why does she have to use dafka a coin? You could just use a plate of silver, and therefore why does it have to be dafka a coin? So el mishum tzarasa, so then maybe you're going to say because of the image that's on the coin. That's what helps out, like it pushes in, like almost acupuncture in certain places. Then la'avad lo pulsa, let her make a disc. And that is, you can make a round shape out of wood and then make an image on that. Well, again, why does it have to be a coin? You can make it out of wood. So, therefore, the Gemara says, from this you hear, from the fact that our Mishnah said, dafka, the case of a seller of a coin, kulumanla, that all these properties are necessary as a healing process for the foot. And that's why the Mishnah said the case of a sella, of a coin, because it has all these things. It has the fact that it's hard. It has the fact that there's the moisture that comes out of the silver. And it has the fact that it has a graven image, and all these different things help, that it protects the foot, that it has these chemical properties of the silver, and also that it has the certain pressure points of the image, that you see that all of them are, so to speak, help, and therefore we said the case of the sella. The Mishnah said, Habonas yoitzis b'chutin, that the girls could go out with the strings that are in their ears, which is where it was pierced. Again, it keeps it open and doesn't let it close. So the Gemara brings that many different customs that the father of Shmuel had, and one of them relates to this halacha. Avur de Shmuel leishovik lehu lebante de nafki b'chutin. The father of Shmuel, the famous Amor Shmuel, didn't let his daughters go out with strings in their ears on Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to explain all the different customs that he had, why he had the reasoning for that. He didn't allow his girls to sleep one next to the other when they were still virgins. He made for them a mikvah, which was a pool of gathered water during the days of Nisan. And he would make either a separate bath or near the river that it would be drawn, the river water would be drawn to a separate place, and then it would be gathered in one place like a pool, and there they would immerse themselves for their tumas. And finally, he would also make for them mats, that when they were tovel in the Euphrates River, he would make mats for them on the days of Tishrei. That is because of the mud that's there, that shouldn't be chatzitza, shouldn't interpose, because if they're going into the river to tovel, to immerse themselves, you might get some of the mud on the foot, and that's not going to let the water get there, because the mud is interposing. And therefore, he would put mats for them under their feet, that they shouldn't get stuck in the mud, and therefore it should be a good tefil. Now the Gemara explains all these four customs that he had, and the reasoning behind them. So the first one was leishavik lehu yetsi b'chutin. He didn't let them go out on Shabbos with the strings in their ears where it was pierced. But the Gemara asked, "V'anan tanan abonus yetsi b'chutin." Our Mishnah says explicitly that the girls could go out with the strings that are in their ear. So the Gemara explains that bante davu de Shmuel ditzavunin habim. The daughters of the father of Shmuel, their strings were colored ones, and therefore their father was concerned that maybe they are going to take it off to show their friends, "Look how beautiful my strings are." And that's why it was us. It wasn't like the regular strings that they had in our Mishnah, which there no one's going to take it off, and therefore it's mutter to go out on Shabbos. Versus this case, he was concerned about they're going to carry. The second minig he had was leishavik lehu ginoin gabei dodi. He didn't let the girls sleep one next to the other when they were virgins before they were married. So the Gemara says, what's the reasoning behind this? Let's say that this supports the teaching of Rav Huna. The Amar Rav Huna says, Nashim hamasulole zubizu, the women that rub one to the other, that is because of their sexual desire that they have, that by rubbing each other, it makes them enjoyment. So we continue on Talmud Beis. Psulais lakuna, these types of women are apostle, they're not kosher anymore to marry a Kohen Gadol. That is because on some level, she's not a complete virgin. And that is, although that in the times of the father of Shmuel, there was no Kohen Gadol, so what's the problem? Since it's, so to speak, on some level, like a maisa of znus, of doing something illicit, therefore he didn't want that, and therefore you see that maybe that's the reason why he didn't let his girls sleep together, because they might have this desire, and it might be somewhat of a psul, something that's not desirable. So the Gemara says, it's not necessarily that it was because of the halacha of Rav Huna. He didn't let his daughters sleep together for a different reason. He didn't want them to get accustomed to having the warmth and sleeping next to a foreign body. And that is, he didn't want that they should desire to lay with a man and then lead them onto a path that he didn't want them. That's why he didn't let them sleep, but not necessarily because of the halacha of Rav Huna, that because of, so to speak, it's not a complete version then, and it would be a psul for kahuna, but rather because he just didn't want them to get used to that type of idea, and that's why he wanted them to sleep separately. And then the Gemara continues with the third minig that the father Shmuel had, v'avilahu mikveh b'yemi nisan, and that he made for his daughters a mikveh, which was a pool of water in the days of Nisan. So what was the reason for that? Why couldn't they just go ahead and tovel and immerse themselves for their tumah in the Euphrates River like they did the rest of the year? And I think Gemara says, Mesayel Rav, this supports the halacha of Rav. The Amar Rav, the Rav says, Mitra b'marova, that when there's rain in the west, which is a reference to Eretz Yisrael, Sahad Rabba Pras, a great witness, a testimony to this rain that's happened in Eretz Yisrael, is the Euphrates River. And that is the Euphrates says testimony that it rained in Eretz Yisrael. And that is because then the Euphrates gets larger and greater from the rainfall that came from Eretz Yisrael. And the people in Bavel know that it rained in Eretz Yisrael, and they're very happy for what happened for their brother, because the rain comes down all the way down to Bavel and they see a large amount of water. So they're happy that in Eretz Yisrael that it rained. And the father of Shmuel held like Rav also, that the Euphrates gets larger, and it, so to speak, the waters of the Euphrates get blessed from the rain of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, why is that a reason to say that on the days of Nisan, you're not allowed to immerse in the Euphrates? And that is, as the Gemara says, he was concerned that the rainwater should not be greater than the flowing water. And that is, the neitfim, the water that drips, so to speak, that's the rain, shouldn't be more than the flowing water that's coming out of the river itself. And that is, as the Mishnah says in Masechtas Mikvayos, that the zeichalin, the water that's flowing, is like a ma'ayin, is like a spring. And that is, the neitfim, the rainwater, has to be like a mikvah. And in Teres Kayanim, they explain what's the pshat in this Mishnah, that only a spring you're allowed to immerse when it's flowing, versus rainwater can only be immersed in when it's like a mikvah, that it's a pool, that it's gathered and it's not flowing. As the Teres Kayanim says, it says in the Pasuk, Ach mayin ubor mikveh mayin, that only a spring and a pit of gathered water, that you're allowed to immerse in. So it talks about two different things. So you would think that you can go take on your shoulder and you can make a mikvah initially like that, and that you could gather it and make it that you could immerse in, and it'll be tar. And that the Pasuk says, that ma'ayin, it compares the bur of mikveh ma'ayin, compares the pit of gathered water to the spring, to tell you that ma'ayin, midesha ma'ayin, just like a spring is through Hashem, that is, we don't make a spring ourselves, so to a mikvah of gathered water has to be midesha ma'ayin. It has to be that the rainwater went straight into the pit, and that you can't go ahead and pick it up from somewhere and put it into the pit to make the mikvah. So then the Braisa in Teres Kayanim says that then you would say that just like a spring is tahar, it's matar, it works even when it's flowing, that it'll work to immerse in. So to a mikvah of gathered water will also purify a person even when it's flowing. On that the Pasuk says, ach mayin, that only a spring, that is, only a spring will purify a person even when it's flowing, whereas a mikvah of gathered water is only purify a person when it's ashbayrin, when it's still water. And what is ashbayrin? That it's if it's gathered and staying as it is. And that comes to exclude, for example, if let's say a person would immerse his kalim when the water is flowing, when it's gathering into the mikvah and flowing down into it, that it's such a tevila won't help, because it says bayr u mikvah, that it has to be kavuv kaim, it has to be gathered, and that's the way it has to be still water. Whereas a spring, that is matar even when it's flowing, and it's, let's say it's coming from a higher place to a lower place, like all the rivers go. And therefore the concern of the father of Shmuel was that during the days of Nisan, when the rivers get greater from the whole winter season, from the rain that came and from the melting of the snow, so he was concerned that maybe, as the Gemara says, Yirbaha Neitrim ala Zeichlam, that maybe there's going to be more rainwater than flowing spring water that's from the river. That is because of all the rain that there was over the live water, so to speak, from the spring. And therefore, since it's going to be mevatel, the rainwater is going to mevatel the spring water, so now, halachically, we don't view the river anymore as a mayin, as a spring, because the majority is not spring water, it's rainwater. And therefore, it cannot be matar anymore when it's flowing, only when it's still. And therefore, since it's not still, it's flowing, so therefore the immersion won't work. That's why he made for his daughters mikvois, those were pools of still water, which are gathered, well, there you can be mekayim your mitzvah again. Either if it's flowing, it has to be from spring water, and or if it's rainwater, then it has to be gathered. And therefore, the rivers during the days of Nisan have so much rainwater that can only be when it's gathered. And since the rivers are flowing, that's why I said that they can't be tevel in the rivers at those times, because since it's flowing and it's not as halachically as the status of a spring water, rather as rainwater. That's why at that time he said you have to go now in a separate mikvah, a pool of water, where there it's gathered, and then you could be yitzichib. However, the Gemara says that this meaning of the father of Shmuel, that he held this halachically, that these two components, one that in the days of Nisan, there's so much water in the Euphrates River that because of all the rain that happened there, it's Yisrael, and that because of that, now you can't go ahead and tevel in it because it's flowing, because rainwater has to be gathered. That's upliga de Shmuel. That argues on his son Shmuel. And that is the Amar Shmuel, Nahar mikipe mivrach. Shmuel, his son, said that a river is blessed from its source. And that is not from the rainwater. In other words, when you see a lot of water in Nisan time, don't think that it's coming from rain. Rather, it's the springs that, so to speak, send forth more water. And therefore, according to Shmuel, you don't have to tevel in the mikveh. It's okay, you could even tevel in the rivers, because the fact that there's more water is not from the rain. Rather, it's from within. And therefore, since it's from within, the spring could be flowing water. However, the Gemara says that upliga didi adidei, that Shmuel himself argues on himself that he seems to have an internal contradiction regarding his opinion. The Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel says elsewhere that ena mayim metaren bezeichlin, that the water will not purify when it's flowing. That is, you can't be metar, a person or a vessel that you're tevelling when the water is flowing, and that is rather you would have to draw it to a separate mikvah, to a pool, and immerse it there. Only when's the only time that it could be in flowing water? Shmuel said elapras b'yemi tishrei b'lvad, only in the Euphrates during the days of Tishrei, and that's it, nothing more than that. Because in the days of Tishrei, where there really wasn't rain through the whole summer months, so then you have the majority is going to be flowing water, and therefore it has halachic status of a spring, and that can be when it's even flowing. So therefore you see that Shmuel holds that the Euphrates River the rest of the year does get greater from the rainwater, and that's why the rest of the year you cannot tevel in the Euphrates, it would have to be in the mikvah. So it seems to be that Shmuel himself contradicts himself, that on the one hand he says that it's blessed from within, and therefore you could always immerse yourself in the river because it's always spring water, versus somewhere else he says, no, you can only tevel in the Euphrates only during Tishrei, when there wasn't rain in such a long time, so you see that it is blessed from the rainwater. So it seems to be a contradiction, Shmuel on Shmuel, but definitely one of his halachas argues on the father of Shmuel, where there his father said that it is blessed from the rainwater, and therefore it's testimony, the Euphrates is great testimony to all the rain that happens, and therefore he said that you cannot tevel in it in the days of Nisan when there's so much rainwater. So the Gemara continues discussing a Mishnah that said, "Perefes al ha'evin," that the woman could fasten her cloak on a rock. However, not like a tchilam on Shabbos. You can't initially do that on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, as we mentioned on the Mishnah, "Va'amid reisha perefes." The Mishnah initially said that a woman could go ahead and fasten her cloak onto the rock or all these different things, and that's definitely likatchila, and they're talking about on Shabbos, because if that halacha of the reisha would be talking about from before Shabbos, and it's just telling you that you could go out with that on Shabbos, but the reisha already said that the midyois, the women from mid, can go out with these parfas, with this fastened on, and therefore, what when it's saying perefes ala evan later on, it's definitely saying even on Shabbos, because Erev Shabbos already said that. So then how can you go ahead right after and say that, oh, but you can't do likatchila on Shabbos, but you just said that you could, because it can't be saying that from Erev Shabbos, because that we said even before. So the Gemara says, it depends. Amar Baya, Seifa, the last part, which says that she cannot be Tifra, she cannot fasten it, likatchila on Shabbos. Asan Lamed Beya, that's talking about a different type of case. It's talking about a coin, and a coin is Muktzah, so you can't move it on Shabbos. Whereas a rock that was already separate for it, that is fit to move. And therefore, the way we resolve the contradiction is, the first thing the Mishnah said was talking about an Erev Shabbos. You can go out with it, there's no problem. The second part, which said you could even do it, was even talking about on Shabbos. The last part, which said, but you can't do likatchila on Shabbos, that was talking about specifically regarding a coin. On Shabbos, you can't go ahead and now put a coin to go ahead and fasten it, because again, a coin is muktzah, and that's why you can't do likatchila on Shabbos. Whereas a rock or a stone, something that was designated for me before Shabbos, that you can move around, that therefore it's not muktzah, and that you could even do on Shabbos. So on this topic, the Gemara brings a question. Boyo Abaya, I had the following question. Isha ma'o shetam. What is the halacha? Could a woman use subterfuge? In other words, could she do, so to speak, like a trick? V'tifref ala egris, that she has this cloak, she'll fasten it onto a nut, which you're allowed to do even on Shabbos. Lohitzi lebeno kot m'Shabbos. And the reason why she's doing it is because she really just wants to give the nut to her child on Shabbos to eat the nut. But she can't carry it. So how's she going to take out the nut? Oh, she takes it on her cloak. She fastens the strap around it. And now she can take it out. Now her child can go ahead and eat it. What's the halacha? Can you do such a trick? So the Gemara says, "Tabei lamandam marimin, tabei lamandam emirim." This question would apply whether, as this is a machloikis later on in Perek called Kisvei Akodesh on Daf Kof Chof Amad Aleph, that there's a machloikis over there regarding when there's a fire in one's house on Shabbos. And now everything's going to go up in smoke. Now you want to get out your clothing, but you can't carry it. So there's a machloikis brought down over there that Remeya says that a person could wear as much as he could get on himself, because you're allowed to go out with clothing on, as much as you could pack on, even 10 different shirts, one on top of the other. Rabbi Yossi says, no, only 18 kalim, vessels, garments, the way you would wear it during the weekday, and he goes through and he shows all the different garments, a hat, a shirt, all these different things you wear, and not more. Because that's, so to speak, that's subterfuge, that's a trick, that's not really how you dress, that's not mutter. So the Gemara says that this question, can you do this trick of the nut, would apply whether, according to both. according to the one that there that says you could use the subterfuge and put on as much clothing as you want, and even according to the one that says that no, you can't put on as much as you want because everyone gets it that you're pulling a fast one, as the Gemara explains. You could ask the question regarding the nut, even according to the one that says that you could use subterfuge, you could use this trick, so to speak, by the fire, and that was the opinion of Rameh. You could put on as many clothing as you want, even though that's not usually how you dress, but today you're wearing 100 shirts, 50 pairs of pants, not a problem. The reason why there we allow the harama, the trick, is because if we didn't let you do this, so to speak, wearing it out, you might come to extinguish it because you're like, oh my gosh, all my clothing, everything's going up in fire. Therefore, there we let you do that haram. But regarding the case over here, the nut, maybe here we wouldn't let you. Because even if we wouldn't permit you to take out the nut by fastening it around it to give it to your child to eat, you're not going to come out to carry it because since it's not necessary, it's not, you just want your kid to have a nut. It's not like a fire going up in your fire. And therefore, maybe there, that mandama would agree that here would be asr, even though there we allow the harama because that you might come to extinguish versus here. Idilma, or maybe in reverse, you could ask the question, even according to the one that says over there, that we don't allow you to use this subterfuge by the fire, and only as many garments as usually wear, that's how many you're allowed to wear, but you can't put on 20 shirts and etc. Maybe they're the reason why we didn't let you, because that's the way you usually carry things. In other words, by those who sell garments, they carry, so to speak, how they wear it. And therefore, since it's considered a complete haitzah, we didn't allow you to wear more than what's necessary because that's really a burden that's carrying on Shabbos, and therefore we didn't let you more. But maybe over here, maybe that mandam would let you wear it to use the subterfuge with the knot, because ein derech haitzah b'kach. Since it's not the way you usually carry out a knot, you carry it in your hand, you don't usually fasten a strap around it. Maybe that tana would hold that here would be mutter and taker. Therefore, it's not clear it stands. The question would apply according to both, even according to the one that says that generally we don't allow subterfuge, maybe here they would let it. And even according to the one that says you don't, maybe here they would allow it again, because here the cases are different on these two different points.